All right, it's time to talk NFL Draft with Thor Nystrom, lead NFL Draft analyst for Roto-World and NBC Sports. He joins us on the Sprint Special Guest Line. Sprint makes it safe and easy to get what you need online. Visit Sprint.com for online services and local store availability. Thor, good morning.
And how are we doing? Merry Christmas, or Merry Christmas Eve, I guess.
Yeah, right? NFL Draft. And here, although we don't have an NFL team and people's loyalties here are split, we're all following the Utes to see how many of those players get drafted. And then the Jordan Love story, we can start there with the Utah State Aggies quarterback. And he was really good 2 years ago. Last year, there were a shocking number of interceptions, some. I mean, you expected a little bit of turmoil because he had a new head coach, a new OC, and 9 new starters on offense. But still, some of the pick sixes he threw, trying to throw the ball over to the sideline and not seeing linebackers underneath throwing down the field, it's a huge red flag. People are split. Should he be a top 10 pick? Could he fall out of the first round? What would you do if you were making the call?
Yeah, I see him more as a late first-round guy. You know, if I needed a quarterback, and I'm even split internally, you know, like the way that I feel about him. And I imagine that a lot of people that evaluate sort of feel the same way. You know, I think if you look at Jordan Love and you feel like you know what he's going to be 100%, I feel like you're wrong. You know, the way that I think about it is the way that you see Jordan Love, it says more about who you are than who Jordan Love is. Because a player with that sort of profile, it's just sort of impossible to say, this is exactly how it's going to go. And, I mean, your point's really well taken. And folks out there, I mean, you guys know how the progression went. 2018, he looked like a future top 10 pick, you know. And it, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but his TD-INT ratio is something like, you know, 32-6 or whatever. And he was playing with a couple NFL players there. And then obviously Darwin left and Ron Quabian left and Dax Raymond left and the coaching staff left and, you know, some of the offensive linemen left. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, he returns and he's playing with Paul Cruz, you know, team from the longest yard. And, you know, the offensive, you know, coaching staff is sort of bereft of creativity last year. And it was like, you know, sometimes it felt like Jordan Love was just like super frustrated about what was going on. And then it was like other times, like, he just was like, I don't care. Like, you know, I'm just annoyed. Like sometimes it felt like he was sort of like the goth kid, like up in his room was like sort of sulking like his dad had left. It was like sort of painting his fingernails black. It was like, this sucks, you know. He's just throwing the ball into chest plates of linebackers and stuff like that. And so as far as his evaluation, you're talking about a kid, perfect frame, you couldn't draw it up any better. Same thing with the athleticism. The ball shoots out of his hand like a pitching machine. I mean, you just don't see it like that too much, you know, where it's just like shroom shroom, you know, whatever. Like super comfortable in the pocket, you know, one of those kids that just looks like he was born there. But, you know, again, he already had some raw elements as far as his game 2018, even though you could project it much easier. Last year, he had some sort of bugs, you know, some things as far as the decision-making, the processing, stuff like that, the field vision, bad habits that got ingrained that, in addition, now are going to have to be sort of coached out of him. You're going to have a, you know, a guy go in there like an IT team and sort of like try to debug him. It just elevates that risk profile a bit, but just because of how high that ceiling is, even with that risk profile at the position he plays, it almost demands that he goes in the first round in a quarterback needy league.
Do you see the Patriots drafting a quarterback either staying where they are or trading up?
I think that I don't see them trading up for Jordan Love just because of that risk profile. That would seem to be an anti-Belichick thing. The one scenario where I could see them trading up for a quarterback, and it seems less likely now than it did a week ago, but when there was a lot of that smoke about Tua's hip, but it did seem a little bit overblown. It seemed like there was some people in the Miami organization that were sort of bending over backwards to grab ears of their sources in the media and tell them, like, oh, you know, we're concerned about Tua. Like, we actually like Justin Herbert more, which didn't really make any sense, because if that was actually true, I'm not sure why you'd be trying to tell like all the draft folks that. But if, you know, if that scenario was true, or if it does turn out to be true, and they just have really loose lips or whatever, and Tua does fall beyond them, and let's just say that San Diego, just they're not the biggest Tua fans, and they decide to take an offensive tackle, you know, or whatever instead of a quarterback, that would be the scenario where potentially Tua starts to fall down a little bit. You know, the NFL is a paranoid league as is, and Tua, you know, because of the hip, wasn't allowed, and because of the coronavirus, obviously, wasn't allowed to go into teams' facilities and be seen by their team's doctors. And so the NFL has to rely on another doctor. And even though the doctor that saw Tua is a world-renowned hip expert, the NFL is still like, well, you know, my medical team wasn't allowed to see him. And, you know, I mean, like, all of us out there, we're in our own, like, little, you know, quarantines or whatever. We're all spending a lot of time sort of by ourselves and stuff like that. And you gotta think, like, these NFL decision makers, it's the same sort of thing. And during this process, they've sort of been festering with their own thoughts and, you know, stuff like that. I think a little bit of even more paranoia than usual is setting in. And so that would be sort of the scenario where if Tua starts to fall down a bit, that would be the scenario where I could see, you know, if you see Tua like at 11, at 12, something like that, 13, I think that's where you could see the Patriots, you know, Belichick just saying like, this isn't something I usually do, but this is a crazy scenario. This kid shouldn't be available. Like, let's just do this thing.
Well, you just referenced the Chargers of San Diego, so Dean Spanos will probably be suing you in about 20 minutes, so good luck with that. But that's okay.
I'll get the lawyer on the phone.
Yeah, we know what you're getting at, though, as far as the Chargers with Taylor and is he a bridge quarterback, you know, to the next guy. We get that. So while we're all following the quarterbacks here, especially because Jordan Love and a guy we've all watched on TV here, we've also watched a lot of the Utes, and they are going to have, depending on who you believe, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys drafted. I think it's going to be on the higher end of that, but you study it closer than I do and talk to NFL people, so what do you think?
They're going to have a lot, and a lot of defenders, a lot of interesting defenders, right? I mean, you could sort of go down the list, and it's a lot of guys where it's like, you know, different flavors for different guys. I'm a big Jalen Johnson guy. I'm a big, big Jalen Johnson guy. And I heard from a source that his shoulder is good. You know, it's cleaned out. Everything is good with that. It's not going to be an issue going forward. So to me, Jalen Johnson is for sure, no doubt about it, a first round guy. You know, and to me, you know, quasi top 20 pick type guy. I think I have him as cornerback 4. You know, and then, I mean, just like, you know, again, with the defenders, we have 2 other guys in the defensive backfield there with them, both really interesting guys, Burgess and Blackman, you know, Leckie, you know, I mean, like, you just sort of go down the list. We'll see if Huntley gets drafted. I mean, he's a possibility for round 7. Obviously, Zach Moss is going to be drafted in the middle rounds at some point. I don't know exactly what the number is going to be, but it's going to be a lot. And, you know, we've seen in recent years, like, the NFL respects what Utah does as far as player development goes. Those kids come into the league ready to play. So you're going to see a lot of Utah Utes go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And to an extent, the draft is somewhat of a crapshoot. Do you think this year, with the circumstances that we have, with no personal workouts and pro days and whatnot, that it's more of a crapshoot?
Yes, I do. Yeah, and in this sort of very specific way, where in the past, the NFL, it's like this sort of like investigative unit, like the FBI, and they're getting, like, you know, on every single prospect, you know, even beyond the 300 and however many guys get invited to the combine. You know, double, triple that amount of prospects, they get all the intel in the world on them, you know, where it's like their background info and they're talking to family and friends, and obviously they're grinding the tape and, you know, looking into the analytics, and they have their athletic profile tests, and obviously they're talking to the coaches, like everything like that. This year, the amount of information available to them took a huge haircut, you know, where they couldn't get these kids in the building. The athletic testing that they have to go off of guys that were not at the combine, you basically would have to go off of a kid's word, you know, with some of those like ridiculous YouTube, you know, testing things that we saw from some of these kids and stuff like that, you know, and I saw a bunch of them, you know, just as someone who, you know, does this for a job. Like I got sent a whole bunch of kids that did not go to the combine were DMing me their, you know, YouTube, you know, tests or whatever. And, you know, you watch them and you're just like, I can't take that seriously. Like you're not there. It's a wide angle. Like, I mean, I can't take your time seriously. You know, you can't bake that in, whatever. So what this does is, like, if you were not invited to the combine, if you didn't get in front of teams there, if you didn't submit an athletic profile there, for those guys that did not, it just, for those guys, as far as their evaluation goes, it makes their tape that much more important. And so for me, this draft is, it really benefits the combine guys, number one. I think you're going to see the most guys who got invited to the combine ever get drafted. So I think that's number one. It really hurts guys that did not get invited to the combine. And I think number two, it's the all-time tape draft. You know, it leverages your tape more than anything. And so in the past, where guys could move up the board depending more on their, you know, pro day testing, their personalities, getting in front of people, meshing well with coaches, you know, stuff like that, character, stuff like that. They can't do that as much this year. You know, you can only do so much of that over Scoop, Skype and Zoom and like stuff like that. And so I just think it's going to be way more tape and stuff like that. And I was talking with a friend about this. It's going to be interesting in a decade or so to look back at this class and look at the hit rate of this class, you know, first round, second round, third round, all the way through the seventh round, and see if, you know, in terms of correlation to NFL success, if the hit rate on this one is higher or lower than in regular years. Because everyone just sort of assumes like, you know, this is going to be worse. You know, a lot of GMs are already sort of like, oh, you know, we weren't able to get a regular process. They're already sort of baking in excuses for themselves. But if it's better, you know, because that's a possibility. We could have like a higher hit rate, you know, this year. It would just sort of speak to the idea that the tape is more important than, you know, some of these other aspects of the process, you know, and maybe that would in some ways fundamentally change the process itself.
Well, your first half of the answer, I thought you were going the other way. In the end, you brought it back. I've always been stunned that it turns into the decathlon at the combine when you've got all this tape and it's going to be a football game, not a track meet. Now, the thing they're giving up is the in-person interviews, and if that helps tell you which guys just don't have the makeup to do the extra film work and to be detail-oriented and be part of the team, I get where that isn't an excuse. That's a reason when a GM says it. But, man, the decathlon versus the tape, I've always thought the tape should be more important. I don't understand why we're sitting around watching televised shuttle drills thinking that's really important when we already can see if a guy can run over to the sideline and make a tackle or not.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there are some guys where it is disqualifying in terms of they just don't have the juice to play, you know, that like, you know, in terms of threshold, like, you know, we do have the data on this where there's, you know, at a certain point, a guy just does not have the athleticism to play in the NFL. And at certain athletic thresholds, you know, we have the data that says that, you know, they're going to be far more likely to succeed. So just in terms of that, it is a useful data point. But the tape is more important. I mean, that is the thing, you know, and that should lead the day in evaluations 100%. And so this year, that being the thing that is going to get leveraged, it will be interesting, you know, again, looking back at this draft in a decade, because this is going to be, this draft will be a data point unto itself. We're never going to see something like this again. It's going to be interesting to see if this draft has a higher hit rate or a lower rate than historical drafts.
Do you think that even maybe starting with the first round, because of the situation, teams will be more sure of who they want to draft and there won't be any doubt when it's their pick? Or will there be some deliberation we should go ABC direction?
I think the first round's the one that will be more by the book, you know, at least as far as that goes, as far as like a crazy year, just because like, these teams have done all the exercise as far as the mock stuff. They have information about where some of these other, you know, teams are going. I'm sure they've, you know, it's sort of like, you know, like the old Bill Walsh thing, you know, where they would like, you know, he'd draw out like the first, you know, 10, 20 plays or whatever. I think where it will get really crazy is starting after that, and specifically in day three, just because, you know, the way the teams will view all those different kids, and because of that lack of information, I think you're just going to start to see maybe some what I would consider to be dart throws. You know, we're going to see guys that maybe, you know, I might see as an undrafted guy go in the fourth round. And, you know, I mean, just like just differing opinions like that, just because, you know, again, it will go down to the information and analysis of tape as opposed to some of these other different things. So I think in the first round, we're definitely going to see some curveballs for sure. I mean, we're going to see curveballs throughout this thing, and it could start at three, you know, as early as three, you know, if the Lions bail out of that pick. But yeah, specifically once we get later on, I think it's going to start to get like truly like wild, wild west crazy.
Last thing here before we let you go. If there is a major technical snafu because it's a virtual draft and a team's time on the clock runs out, are they going to just say, just blow them a kiss, wave goodbye and go on? Or is there going to be some acknowledgement that, hey, this is an IT issue, let's let this team make a pick? What are they going to do? How set in stone are the rules?
They claim that they're able to just pause the draft. Like, it seems like the NFL is going forward with this thing, like literally, like it's a fantasy football draft. Like Goodell will have the possibility of just sort of hitting the red button, you know, like commissioner mode. Like, you know, when you guys out there played your ESPN thing, and it's like it has the commissioner access, and it's like pause draft. Like, it really feels like that. I mean, that seems what the protocol is for this thing. It's crazy, but it seems like that's what it is. And so, like, you know, you think back to like that one year with the Vikings where they got hopped a couple times because they didn't get the pick in time. I don't even know if that would happen, because like if a team didn't pick in time, would Goodell be calling them and being like, well, did you just not get it in time because you didn't get it in time, or are you having technical difficulties? Like, you know, would they pause it at that point? I'm not really sure, but you know, that part of it could be even crazier than the picks, which I also expect the picks to be pretty crazy. We're going to get multiple levels of crazy. It's going to be like inside the looking glass, like Alice in Wonderland kind of crazy here the next couple of days. I can't wait for it. I'm going to be here for the whole thing, you know.
He's Thor Nystrom. He dropped the Paul Crewe reference earlier and never left. We're social distancing here, so we couldn't get PK's take because he's on remote. But I'm in one studio, and our producer Jake is through the other one. And when you dropped that Paul Crewe reference, we both looked at each other like, nice, look at you go. Good work. the fake football player.
You fans know what I'm talking about.
The fake football player got the bigger reaction than any of the real football players. All right, Thor, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Appreciate it.